So we've been in the book of 1 John for the last 3 weeks. We're doing this chapter by chapter. So if you're keeping score at home, we have 2 chapters left. There's 5 total. And I have to confess that the elders have spoken to me about using words that nobody understands in messages, like docetism. And so we've had to agree that we're not going to do that way anymore, that I have to explain the words and verify that I haven't made them up, that they're real. So we've had this, as we've been walking through 1 John, there's sort of this tension of there's really obvious, good, sound, easily graspable advice, like love each other. And then there's this whole other context going on in 1 John that needs some explanation. You know, so there's this talk of the Antichrist, and there's all this other stuff going on, right? And so we wanted to briefly do some head stuff this morning and then mostly do some heart stuff. Because most of the work we've done in 1 John so far has been kind of heady. And we want to do both. So the first part of this 4th chapter, there's these pieces that we have to remember the context for. We have to remember that John is writing to folks to combat the heresy of docetism, which I'll explain. It's, you know, this idea that Jesus didn't actually have a physical body, that was just sort of a mirage or a pretend or a hologram, or they probably wouldn't have used that word, but that Jesus didn't have a physical body. And 1 John makes a lot more sense when you start seeing it through this context, like we're trying to combat this heresy that Jesus didn't really exist, wasn't really human. So you start talking about the Antichrist, you're talking about people who didn't believe Christ actually had a body. Does that make sense? So John is kind of recovering ground here that John has already covered, and this is not unimportant ground to cover. But then we move to this second half of chapter 4, and it gets a lot more applicable in a hurry. It gets a lot more removed from this idea of what was going on in the first century and the philosophical debates that are happening there, and we move to this very pragmatic, very full of, okay, I got to do something with this. And so this morning we want to take some time to just bask in that a little bit, to live in that, to soak in that. And so Noelle's going to come and lead us in a couple spiritual practices. Noelle Carey is the co-clerk of our elders, if you don't know her. And if she feels compelled, she'll say more about herself.
I'm one of those self-confessed introverts that was attracted to Quakerism some 30 years ago. And even as I'm standing here, I feel this like little, oh my gosh, how did I get myself here? So thank you for your patience and for your presence with us this morning in worship. And like Nate said, we want to take some time. We've been doing so much head work with scripture and thinking about what it is that John wanted us to hear and understand in this passage. We thought it would be really, really helpful for us to take some time and do some heart work. And so I'm going to lead us through a prayer exercise today and then give you an opportunity to respond to that exercise at the end of our time. So the first thing I just want to highlight for you right now is there are some tools available for you to use. At the end of benches, there are baskets that have pens in them. They have little white pieces of paper if you feel compelled to jot some notes down for yourself or need to draw a picture. Sometimes pictures are more helpful than words. Up to you, whatever you feel led to do. Also in those baskets, you're going to find little slightly gray pieces of paper. And we have a particular purpose for these ones. And so I would ask that you take one for yourself, but hold on to it, and I'll give you instructions as to how to use this paper at the end of our exercise. Okay? I'll give you a second to get those handed out. While you're doing that, I want to say just a little bit. I'm a photographer, and it's one of my main mediums of creativity, and I love to take photos. And when I was originally thinking about working with Nate on what we would do today, I wanted to put together a slideshow that had this this balance of images that evoked kind of a feeling of love or beauty, and then images that evoked more of a sense of fear that we find in this passage of scripture today. And as I was working on it, I was really struggling with it, and I was trying to figure out what images to include. And I noticed about myself that I don't take pictures that make me feel afraid. And I was struggling with, like, well, how am I going to include both of these? You know, where am I going to get those pictures from? I just can't run out my door and start taking pictures of things that make me feel afraid. And I just noticed that I don't do that. Some photographers do. Some photographers intentionally put themselves in those places to take the photos that remind us that there is fear and pain and sadness in the world. And I'm just not there. I'm not there for that right now. I might be at some point, but I'm not there right now. So I held off on that, and I hopefully will have another opportunity to share my photos with you at a different time. But I wanted to share that experience with you because sometimes we want to embrace both of those feelings, and then we notice that one emotion or one feeling, or we're drawn to one more than another. And maybe that's something for me to pay attention to. Like, why don't I take pictures that evoke that emotion of fear? What is it about that for me? Moving on to our exercise that I want to do with us this morning. I'm going to read our passage of scripture. It's going to be verses 1 John 4, verses 17 through 21. And I'm going to read it through three times. Each time I read it, I'm going to ask you to look for something. The first time I read it, I'm going to ask you to look for a word or a phrase that jumps out to you. And I'll give you some space at the end to maybe jot something down or draw something. The second time I read it, I'll invite you to pay attention to an image. What's an image that comes to mind for you as you listen to the scripture? And then the last time I read it, I'm going to invite you to really deeply think about what is Christ saying to you through this scripture today. Maybe it's a combination of the image and the word. Maybe Christ has a specific message for you in this passage today. I want you to pay attention to that. And again, you could write a word. You could write that down for yourself. You could draw a picture. Okay? And then at the end, I'll explain the little gray pieces of paper in the hearts for us. All right. Let's enter into just a few moments of silence. And then I will read our first scripture. Again, this first time as I read through, I want you to listen for a word that jumps out to you. And John says, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love. Love and be loved. First we were loved, and now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love a person he can see, how can he love God that he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. All right, I'm going to read through it again. This time I want you to listen and pay attention for an image that emerges from you. If it's helpful to close your eyes, go ahead and do that. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love, love and be loved. First we were loved, and now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to do both. This last time I read it through, I want to invite you to really be attentive to what Christ has for you in this scripture today. What is it that God is laying upon your heart? What is the message for you? God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that when we're free of worry on judgment day, our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love, love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to do both. The last thing we'd invite you to do in this prayer exercise is I want to show you these little gray pieces of paper again. And something that stood out to us in this passage is that there's this element of fear. And sometimes fear is crippling. It's paralyzing. It can keep us from loving other people and loving ourselves. And we realize that it may be helpful for you to jot down what your fear is. What keeps you from loving yourself or from other people? Jot that fear down. And if this is helpful for you, we want to invite you to do it. To take that fear that you've written down here and to lay it inside this basket as a symbol of letting it go and releasing it. And we know that letting things go can often be a process, right? We don't always just let it go initially, but it can be a process. So we want to invite you to start that process with that fear by letting it go and setting it in here. Secondly, we also want to acknowledge that there are love messages for us in this scripture. And there may be something specific that you noticed. We want to invite you to come and get a heart. We have red hearts up here and blue hearts. There's many different colors up here, and the color doesn't matter. But we want to invite you to come and take a heart for yourself and write down that love message that Christ has for you today. And jot it down and take it with you. We're not going to ask you to post it anywhere. This is your message, the message that Christ has written on your heart today. Okay. We'll open up space for folks to come and lay their fears in the basket and come and take a heart for yourself. At the end, Nate's going to close us.